Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramonte Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, police departments throughout the Washington metropolitan area are working to reduce crime. That holds true for Prince George's County, where shootings, car thefts, and other robberies are producing challenges for the county's police force. But what is that force doing to combat the challenges it faces as it seeks to keep county citizens safe and their property protected? Tonight, we talk with the county's chief of police about those issues and more. Malik Aziz, chief of the Prince George's County Police Department, is here with us. He's going to take your call, so we'd like to hear from you. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have any questions for the chief, some concerns you'd like to address, now is the time to do it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief Aziz, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate you so much.
Chief, if we can, let's start. I want to go back just a little bit because I found this press conference very interesting back in February, February 2nd. You, Chief of Police in D.C. Conti, Mayor Bowser, County Executive also Brooks, holding a press conference on the Maryland, on the county and D.C. line, and just talking about a collaborative approach, right, to address crime in the Washington metropolitan area, and specifically as it goes from D.C. to Prince George's and Prince George's to D.C. Talk to me a little bit about that effort and where you see it now, a little over just short of 2 months since at least the press conference was held.
Well, I think we are seeing some very promising things up. First, let me say that I'd like to, you know, thank our county executive in Prince George's County, Ms. Angela also Brooks, and the mayor of D.C. For just having Ms. Bowser for having the courage to get us together and for us to work collaboratively to combat those efforts. My good friend Chief Conti for his efforts on the other side of the line, is we all call it the line. And so where I think we were 2 months ago, we've seen some very promising things to occur. One is we really ramped up our collaboration with each other and with an initiative that we call the Cross-Border Initiative. But our communications opened up, our portals opened back up for us to share statistics and intelligence and information and go back and forth across the line to deal with the issues when we count on our partners in D.C., and they count on us in Prince George's County. And we have really numerous incidents to occur where we work with each other collectively and collaboratively. Myself and Chief Conti, we talk frequently, but it just made it much, much better to have the two most visible powerhouses of our jurisdictions get together and make something meaningful that would benefit the residents, the people who live, work, and play in this region. So I've seen some great things happen from it. I think they're going to get even better as we go throughout the spring, summer, and fall. So the rest of the year, I think it will get better.
And Chief Aziz, I'll concede that 2 months isn't a large window, right, to really kind of, you know, fully assess. That's a short time. But in your experiences in police departments across the country, is this something unique? Is there something unique about this situation in Prince George's County and D.C., or have you seen these kind of collaborations in other areas and how they work best?
Well, I've seen collaborations even where I come from, you know, Dallas or great state of Texas, you know, so I've seen collaborations across the United States with a different hat on. I will say that here in this region, the effort of our federal partners, the numerous municipalities, D.C., the short distance between us for major jurisdictions or major cities, it is very unique in what we call this DMV. I'm getting used to the language, the DMV. Mm-hmm. It's a very unique area to cross over not just county lines, but to cross over into state lines or a entire, you know, unique place. And so that is very different. Unlike almost any place that, or unlike any place that I've seen that will cross over in, you know, in a matter of seconds or minutes to be somewhere else and to deal as, with many law enforcement entities as we deal with. That is unique and for me. And it's unique because I traveled across this United States and abroad, you know, as a student of policing and dealing with my comrades all around the United States. And we are in a very unique position to combat these kind of things that are happening. But our collaboration is what is most important. And from the crime aspect of it, then it is other places are experiencing some of the same things, even on a low, medium, or high volume. A lot of major jurisdictions, major cities in the United States are experiencing the same problems that we are having here in a place that is diverse as this region is. And, to you know, for instance, tomorrow I'll be visiting 78 other chiefs of major or heads of major police departments in the United States. The top 79 gather about four times a year and from the major cities chiefs association, and we often discuss these things. So we find out from each other what is happening there, what is going on in your jurisdiction, because what we've seen in the past is that these things have waves. What is happening up in Philadelphia, it will soon happen in this region, or what is happening in Baltimore, or what is happening in Chicago, it eventually goes across the United States in some form or fashion. And that's what we've been looking at, and that's why we get together to talk about them. So I've seen the uniqueness on both ways, but I've seen the commonalities across the criminal line.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight is Malik Aziz. He is the chief of police for the Prince George's County Police Department. If you have a question or a comment for the chief, please give us a call. Chief, I do want to talk to you about this issue of carjacking. And that was one of the major things that you and Chief Conte and Mayor Bowser and County Executive also Brooks have spoken about, and that you spoke about back in February. And you shared really some stunning statistics about carjackings, you know, the numbers, how they've risen, you know, just in the past few years, especially since the pandemic. From 2019, I think there were 93 carjackings, 21 juveniles. 2020, 263 carjackings, but then 77 juveniles arrested. 2021, 393 carjackings, 86 juveniles arrested. And you made a point of saying, and you and Chief Conte, about this issue being a juvenile, really an issue among juveniles, even as young as 12 years old, arrests were being made. Give us an idea of what is happening in the county in terms of carjackings and your initiatives to curb that.
The carjackings, it really is ramped up in this region. The stats you read were very real. I put them out there for a reason, because I want people to hear the sheer volume of what is happening in our region, in Prince George's County, in D.C., and in Virginia. So it is a lot of things are happening in regards to robberies, and these are very violent crimes. When someone pulls out a weapon, a gun, and puts it to your face or your body and demands your property, and they take your property, and it traumatizes the people, the victims, and these people ride off without any fear that something is going to occur or happen to them in the criminal justice system. And so the problem is really, it's big, it's gigantic. And so we wanted to have that press conference to put those numbers out, to talk about these issues so people can be informed about them. And so I will say that some of the things that happened, I think I mentioned we had 394 carjackings in 2021, mm-hmm. And half the arrests that we had from those were juveniles, were young people. And these young people have seen this as some type of either there's no fear or there's a or they could, you know, view it as a game. It's a, and if it is, it's a very serious one with serious consequences into it. I think the biggest thing that came out of that is that we were able to formulate a response with multiple entities, agencies. For instance, that is our, we had our leaders out there, the county executive and the mayor from both sides. We had our state attorney talking with the attorney general on the other side. We had the Department of Juvenile Services talking about issues that were going on. Well, we've had the judges talking. We've had a judge, our great judge on Prince George's County side, Judge Tillerson Adams, who was directing this meeting with our DCAO, Mr. Stanton. And we put all of these people in the same room. It was, in my understanding, since I'm 11 months new here, that this was the first time that it had ever been done, that all of us had been in the room talking about the issues and how to resolve these issues and how to bring justice in a really collaborative way that is meaningful for victims, because we cannot forget about victims, mm-hmm. and is meaningful for the subjects who have been arrested for these crimes, or the mm-hmm. people that we are looking for. So we got together and we had conversations and we talked about how the processes work and where the failures were and where the successes would lie. And that right there was the biggest single thing that came out, that even though we can have subjects who commit offenses, serious violent offenses, and we arrest them and we take them in, that we can throw away the behaviors, we don't throw away the people, that we're looking for a real effort to help people, and sometimes that help can come on the outside, and sometimes that help has to come into detention, right. into the inside. So that's what it was.
Right.
That was the biggest thing that came out of it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're speaking with the chief of police for Prince George's County, Malik Aziz. Let's go to the phone lines. Charles is calling from the district. Charles, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, good evening, and thanks for the call. You know, Chief, I just wanted to mention that, you know, one thing that's not talked about is the lack of fathers that's in the community. You know, we overlook the mass incarceration and what that has done to the household and the family. Mothers are trying to do a very good job, but a lot of these young people, you saw you had six carjackings with juvenile girls that was under 15. You know, these families are in need of support and structure. And some help. I mean, and a lot of our young people, they simply don't see a future for themselves. They, you know, whether it's from the homeless population that they see, then the resources, they're just not there like in other counties such as Howard and Arundel. So my question real quick is, I've been trying to see if officers, like when I was growing up, could be more involved in the community, like maybe start a bike team, USA BMX, Nike, Red Bull, something to engage with these young boys and girls, opposed, because we can't police our way out of this situation.
All right, let me, Charles, before we run out of time. Thank you, Charles. I want to give the chief a chance to address that. I think it's interesting, Chief, that Charles is using other jurisdictions to say, why can't the county do what these other jurisdictions are doing, such as Howard County and other spaces? And I know that Prince George's has, you have some kind of organizations like the Police Athletics and Activity League. Is that a little bit about what Charles is talking about, or are there some other programs that you're thinking that the county would want to do to address this issue? Because as you said, if we just talk about carjackings, I think you've been on record saying you can't arrest your way out of this issue. So where does Charles's point fall?
Well, indeed, we can. This is the balance. The balance is, we learned that we could never arrest our way out of a problem. And the equal of that is that we can't do any other thing that is just that far extreme. It is a solution that involves many inputs. And what Charles What he just said was all the things you just said. We have the Police Athletic Activities League. I can't leave activities out of it. We have, leadership camps. We have basketball. We have baseball. We have all of these things that the police have put in place that we are serving as the role models that the residents expect us to be and that we want to be, that we desire to be.
Chief, hold your thought, Chief. I want you to be able to finish your point. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to pick up on where you're leaving off, Chief. But don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast from WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, Jay, stay right there. We're going to get to you. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Our guest tonight is Malik Aziz, the Chief of Police for the Prince George's County Police Department. Phone lines are open 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief Aziz, I wanted to give you a chance to finish your point about one of our callers asking, are there any programs that are out there that the police department is doing to sort of kind of connect, especially with these younger folks in the county?
Exactly. What I was saying is we have so many programs, and especially through our Police Athletic Activities League, our summer programs are coming up. We have badges for baseball camp that you can sign up at www.pgcpal.org, pgcpal.org. Badges for baseball summer camp. We have the Cal Ripken Field that we're about to have a grand opening to just next month, the first of its kind in the nation. We have a two-day summer soccer clinic going on for kids all the way from 6 years old to 14 years old. We have leadership and life camp that we have slots available for. We have basketball skills and drills and basketball clinic. We have a speed and agility clinic, which is always gets sold out. We have an inner city flag football league. We have a tennis program. We have mentorship program. The police, I have a great community first, Office of Community First, with my Captain Noel, Lieutenant Massey, Sergeant Dossey, and Kurt and Black. They work very hard and with some others to make our Community First Police Athletic Activities League be the very best. They've award-winning Police Athletic Activities League, and we put on these things all year. We do community programs from Toys for Tots. We're giving back. We had a youth talk just last week where we brought our young people in, and we had a conversation with them, and even our county executive, Mr. Alsobrooks, was there with some very smart young people, and we heard from them. They didn't get a lecture from us. We heard from them, so we served as mentors, as father figures, as mother figures, as sisters and brothers. So we have all of these things in place. So we are putting resources into these. And guess what? We have the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Washington is partnering with us in Prince George's County. And one of the most unlike things are about to occur, we're about to put a Boys and Girls Club inside of a police facility over on Palmer Park, Barlow Road, the old police headquarters, where the police are partnering with a robust, vibrant organization that has literally hundreds of programs throughout the nation that they're going to bring here to this area, and we're going to be able to partner with them. So we are doing these things, and we are giving these things, because I believe these are crime prevention, because these type of activities is what saved me. It's what helped me when I was on the streets and had nothing to do. They say idleness is the devil's workshop. These are the things that we're doing. So I answer that with Charles, that we are putting resources into it, and these are crime prevention efforts. And these are community efforts, and we do need more father figures, and we do need more big sisters and big brothers, and we need more people to be role models, and we need our people to stand up and tell people that they're wrong, and we don't need to tolerate criminal behavior, and we don't need to tolerate illicit behavior. We need to stand up and be men and women and exhibit the excellence that we've been called on to do. And your police department We are doing those things in Prince George's County, and the same things that the other counties are doing, but we don't broadcast a lot. Our biggest failure is our communication efforts have not, all the things I just mentioned, lot of people didn't hear.
I was going to ask you, Chief Aziz, you kind of walked right into my next question when you went down the litany of the programs that are available for young folks. And my question to you was, I could see and hear a lot of listeners going, I didn't know the police department offered that. I didn't know the police department was involved in that. How do I get in touch with them? How do I get tied into these programs? How do I get my young children involved in this? Where do I go? And so you would tell them what, if they were looking for information, where does the public go to sign up for these programs that even you said that may not be as well known as it should be?
Well, here it is right here. I'm going to say it again for all the listeners. Go to website www.pgcpal.org. www.pgcpal.org. You can get everything that I just mentioned at that website, and you can sign up all of the children that you have from different ages at that website.
And you said PGC PAL, P-A-L?
Yeah.
P-G-C.
P as in Paul, mm-hmm. C as in George, C as in Charlie, P as in PAL, as or police, A as in Apple, L as in Lincoln, .org.
Okay.
PGCPAL.org. And it's on a first-come, first-served basis. We have limited slots. People have been signing up. But I can tell you, when it's overwhelming and there are things that people want to do with how their children be involved in for the summer, just to give them the outlets or to give them something different, then go there and get it. But if you have overwhelming demand, I told you I have a great team. My team is the great. I believe they're the greatest team in the nation, and they will actually make these things and progress them. And all we need is the commitment from parents and children, and we're going to do our part, and we are doing our part.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Police Chief Malik Aziz, who heads up the Prince George's County Police Department, is our guest tonight. If you have a question or comment for the chief, now is the time to give us a call, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Jay is calling from Germantown. Go right ahead, Jay, with your question or comment.
Yeah, hi, Police Chief Aziz. My name is Jay. I'm very, very happy, but PG County needs some more undercover police officer to cover all those mess. Also, police need to try to approach all those church or some community, and we can provide some free classes. From CNA classes, 20 people to change their mind, and we can give them a free training for CDL classes. I'm a nonprofit organization. I'm ready to help my a larger county in my state. I live in Montgomery County, but I'm ready to support my larger county in my state.
All right. Thank you so much, Jay. Police Chief Aziz, Jay brings up the issue of staffing. Where is the county right now in terms of its police force? Do you have enough people? Are you bringing in more people? Is that an issue in terms of the numbers that you have on the force?
Well, let me say, when we talk about do we have enough people, and it's relative. Generally, it is how many police do you have per 1,000 people? And that can change. And what I always tell people when they ask me this question, do we have enough people? I say we need as many people as we need to get the job done. And sometimes that could mean we have enough, and other times that means we could use a few hundred more. And so I can't say that there's a specific number. I will say we do have a staffing study that just got authorized, and we'll be starting that process here next week to look at our department and see if we're meeting the needs of our residents who reside in Prince George's County. If you know, any police chief will have a belief that a few hundred more, a thousand more will get the job done. And that's not necessarily true when you look at how many officers are per 1,000 people, and then relate that to the crime that may be happening. So it's very tricky to answer it. But I will say that just like any other police department in Prince George's County, the most police departments across the United States, the greater majority, have suffered from the recruitment effort over the past 8 years, and especially in the past two. So we are seeing high attrition rates. We are struggling with retention, and we're struggling to bring in qualified applicants who want to do what I believe is the greatest job on the planet. It's very difficult to do that, but we are hiring for pgpolice.org. If anybody wants to join us, we have a great department with great benefits and a great salary. And we believe that if you come join us at pgpolice.org, then we can actually, you know, fill the gaps of what we have, of what we're lacking.
Chief, why is it an issue with retention? Is it something in particular with the county force? Is this something that's a national issue? What is it that you see? What is the issue with retention?
Well, it is a national issue. The last wave in the national climate of policing, and let you know, it goes back decades or generations that how people view the police in a procedural justice type of way. Have they been treated with equity and fairness? And have you treated them with dignity and respect? Have you given them a voice in the process? And those things often cross decades. They transcend decades. And so in the last, 2014 happens, and we get into these waves that I explained that in 91 and 92, Rodney King incidents, the beating, the trial, and then the riots. And community policing made a return. And then North Hollywood, you had the shooting. And then militarization took over from community policing and chipped away at it. And then 2001, the Terrorist Act happened in New York City and right here in D.C. That ushered in terrorism, domestic terrorism, and community policing took a back step. And then we proceed to 2014, and you had Michael Brown and Eric Garner, and then community policing makes a return, and police reform makes a real return from, you know, consent decrees and a focus on police. And that right there, some being very valid and others questionable, and a collective unified force again with 900,000 police on one side and made it and turned every local police force into a microcosm of the greater whole. And that right there started a journey and a road that people were not attracted to policing because they saw policing in a very different way. Either it was ugly, it was brutal, it was scary, it was dangerous, it was something that happened to it. And a lot of the men and women who were here decided it wasn't the career for them. And people who looked at us said, I don't want to be part of the solution. I don't want to join the police force, and we've been in a struggle. And then fast forward, George Floyd, that every police I've talked to say that was wrong, that was criminal, that shouldn't have happened. I've heard citizens say the opposite. I haven't heard one single police say that. But nevertheless, that right there told people you don't want to be a part of policing, and our people were not a part of that kind of effort to push us into the solution. The citizens, our residents across classes, all classes, gender, races, were not interested in policing on a whole. And every major police department saw a decline mm-hmm. in applications. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're struggling right now. And we're trying mm-hmm. to be a part of a greater solution and get greater buy-in mm-hmm. and have a community effort. But we haven't been able to do those things right now to a great extent. But we're making headway. It's coming back. I feel that it's a return that's coming back.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief of Police for the Prince George's County Police Department, Malik Aziz, is our guest. Chief Aziz, let's talk about some recent events in the county, specifically over at Prince George's Mall. There was a shooting there, a fatal shooting. A young man was shot inside a store, I believe. inside the mall. And apparently there was a shooter and maybe two others that were able to leave the mall or get away. Can you give us an update on this situation? Are there any suspects here in this case? Any information on what precipitated this shooting and why this happened really inside of a mall, in a store, or at least the young man ended up in a store after being wounded?
Well, first, you know, let me say any loss of life in Prince George's County in these type of means and violent means, it should disturb us all, and especially in a mall. Second, you know, Hyattsville City is a municipality that has its own police force. Prince George's County, we do not supply a day-to-day operation, but we are responsible for the investigation of homicides that happen within their jurisdiction. And myself and Chief Towers, we have a very good relationship built. And so what I consider to be the finest homicide unit in the nation, they've been working some tireless nights in the past few nights to bring these suspects to justice. And I know that the effort that they are putting in, that we are going to bring those suspects to justice. For listeners, and you're very broad out here in your listening audience, that I would issue a really stern message to those individuals that you should turn yourself in today. And anyone who knows those individuals should urge them to turn themselves in to the very nearest police department so they can answer up for the justice. But we will make an arrest, and we do take responsibility for all residents in Prince George's County, even if we don't have primary patrol.
All right, and I want to follow up on something you said there right near the end about suggesting or having folks who may know something, suggesting to those who may have been involved to turn themselves in. I want to follow up on that after this quick break. This is the Insight segment. Again, our guest is Chief of Police for Prince George's County, Malik Aziz. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are still open. Again, this is the Insight segment. We'll be right back after this timeout. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher, and this is the Insight segment. Our guest tonight is Chief of Police for Prince George's County, Malik Aziz. Phone lines are still open, so you still have a chance to get a question in for the chief. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief, I wanted to follow up on something you had mentioned when we were talking about the shooting at Prince George's Mall last week. I believe it was on Friday. And you had said, you know, anyone that may know of any of those involved in the fatal shooting should tell those persons to turn themselves in. What's been your experience in the county, and I don't know if it's been any different in the county than your other experiences, in terms of getting the community's help in identifying suspects or at least anonymously turning in suspects? Because it would seem to me that's still that issue where folks feel like they don't want to snitch, they don't want to make the call. What's been your experience so far in the county on that front?
Well, let me say, since I've been here, we've had great cooperation with our residents who have willingly stepped forward. Some have been open, others have been anonymous. You can always call us and remain anonymous. We just give us information. But we've had a very good experience, and I will say for law enforcement, not just here but across the nation, but especially here, most of the crimes that we solve come from the great help of our residents who are good and willing to do the right thing to make our county, the places where we live, work, where our children play, where we entertain, to make it safe. So my experience has been very positive here, but on the whole, we've had a lot of cooperation from good, upright citizens who want to see and want to live in a very progressive and safe place.
Let's talk now. We've only got a couple of months until the summer hits. What are or what is the department's plan in terms of the summer, where you tend to see a surge in violence? What's the county police department, what's the plan in place for what normally happens during the summer in terms of an uptick in violence?
Well, I can tell you that we run a year-round operation. Since my arrival, we have initiated numerous operation plans, crime plans. Our very first crime plan was last summer when I arrived, and it was Operation Heat Wave, not after any heat of the sun, but probably after my favorite group. You know, police always got to name these things, but it was community-based. It was based on community information, us interacting with the community, involving the community, crime prevention, activity. We involved every aspect in our initiative. So in the summer, we ran the Summer Crime Initiative. When the fall came, we ran the Fall Crime Initiative. We ran the Holiday Crime Initiative that started, you know, around Thanksgiving and ended up to the first of the year. And then the Holiday Crime Initiative. And then we ran the Winter Crime Initiative. So, and now we've just kicked off our Spring Crime Initiative, where every initiative is different. We're looking at crime trends. We're looking at patterns. We're looking at information, intelligence, community programs, places where we can enhance things, places that lack coverage, places that have a high volume of 911 calls or high offenses. So we have a comprehensive plan out of our Bureau of Patrol, who is under the leadership of Deputy Chief McCreary, is a very forthright guy who's offering leadership out there. And he's putting together things with Major O'Leary, who's out there, who's over the Bureau of Patrol. We have eight different divisions, patrol divisions, but everyone takes a part in our operations. There is no such thing as somebody taking a break in the police department for the summer. Our detectives are working hard. They have, and they're involved for our financial crimes, who have done seminars with our seniors and law enforcement working together, seeing law enforcement together. It's called SALT. That's operated out of Community First, but it involves information to them. So we have a very comprehensive approach to fighting crime in the summer when we know things are spiking. Things for the youth, things for the seniors. We're doing enforcement. We're gathering intelligence. We're giving information. We're trying to communicate from a crime prevention standpoint. So these operations that we have instituted that will become full circle here come the summer, we have 1 year's worth. And we think, looking at the numbers for the places that we have concentrated on, they have been really good. So it's been that's what we have in store now, and that's what we're going to continue throughout the summer, and a real meaningful engagement with our residents.
Chief, before we run out of time, because you mentioned prevention, and that's, you know, when you're talking about the community, and I know we talked about carjacking, and I'm assuming that you can offer some tips for folks out there to help prevent car theft. Can you share some of those things that you can help our listeners know what they can do to not make themselves a target for car thefts? Because we know this is an ongoing issue all throughout the nation, but especially here in the county.
Yes, it's a big problem here. Across the nation, but a big problem here. The first thing I'm going to say is something that people can remember. Lock it or lose it. Lock it or lose it. And that's lock, take, and hide. Lock your car. Take your keys or take your valuables and hide your valuables. Don't leave these things out in the open. 99% of vehicle burglaries, the doors are unlocked and the valuables are left right in plain view. There's enough cameras on your house that you should have them, but you should have these doorbells that record, these cameras that are inexpensive that you can put on your house. People are putting them all online that are showing people pulling your car doors and seeing which one is locked and one's unlocked. They go through them and take your valuables. So put your things away. Remove these items from your car. And the number one deal, really, is don't leave your key fob in the car either. People are leaving their key fob in the cup holder or on the visor. And what is happening is many of these people who want to cause you problems and create you a loss in time and cause your insurance to go up and everything else, they are just coming in and they're saying, oh, thank you for the car. Thank you for leaving me your fob. I just started, now I'll leave. So we're telling people, don't leave your fob in the car. Don't leave your valuables in the car. I don't care if it's loose change, if it's charging cards, your laptop, your tablet, whatever you leave there, lock it in the trunk. Remove it or take it with you. Put some cameras on your house. Get you a video doorbell and a camera. Park in well-lit areas. Don't conceal yourself with big trucks beside you or park by bushes or things that conceal you. Don't get out the car and put all your packages in the trunk in open view. Do that before you leave, or don't put your wallet or your purse or things like that, your bag in open view. Either take it with you or put it in the trunk before you leave your home. These are just some really common things that we can say that you can prevent. You can prevent car burglary, and you can prevent your car from being stolen. Jump-ins are our biggest problem at convenience stores. So don't go to the gas pump. Don't leave your car running at the gas pump, even if you're there. Don't take your fob, put it in your pocket. Don't leave it running. Turn it off. Look around you. Take a look before you get out the car. See what's going on before you go in the convenience store. Take a look and see what's going on. Don't leave your car running at a gas station or convenience store. Just the other day, a lady went in to the store. A person jumped in her car. She had her 2-year-old child in the car. He drove that car some time before he put the child out in a very unsafe place because it was a 2-year-old, and luckily one of our residents found them and called us. That can happen to you. So don't leave your car running. Don't leave it unattended. Don't leave your valuables there, and we can drive down auto theft. We can drive down the burglary of your vehicle, which means it's better for all of us that the police can do other things that and concentrate on violent crime and driving that down if people would help us reduce these crimes that can, because these are crimes of opportunity. So these crimes of opportunity can be prevented if we would just follow some basic steps. Don't give your stuff away. Lock it or lose it.
He is Malik Aliz. He is the police chief for the Prince George's County Police Department. Chief Aziz, thank you so much for joining us. We know you're on the precipice of your 1-year anniversary, so we appreciate you taking the time out of your, I'm sure, busy schedule to share with us what's happening in the county and the police department, and for taking our questions and questions from listeners and their comments. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM for this Tuesday, March 29th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.